Welcome to episode number 50.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Road Trekking, the RV Podcast, a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. Whether you have a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a great big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp out of your car or tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, this show is for you. We talk about getting out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, as well as sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV experience. That's what Road Trekking, the podcast, is all about, the RV lifestyle. This episode of Road Trekking, the RV Podcast, is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri, where they specialize in new and previously owned small motorhomes from all the major Class B manufacturers. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. And Leisure Time RV, a family-owned dealership in Central Florida. Your vacation starts at Leisure Time RV. Well, in this episode, number 50 of the podcast, we're going to talk with Paul Bamby in a little bit from the Association of RV Parks and Campground, and we're going to learn about big changes coming to campgrounds near you, including efforts to bring faster and more reliable internet access. You ever complained about that? You're going to be interested in what Mr. Bamby has to say. We also have your questions from the week, a great off-the-beaten-path report from a listener, and the latest RV news. But right now, let's welcome my lifelong traveling companion and my wife, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
We are coming to you from one of the most beautiful areas we have ever been.
Yeah, the Panhandle area of Florida.
This is known as the Emerald Coast, and we are camped literally on the beach. Our wheels are in the sand, and in front of us here are the beautiful turquoise waters of the Gulf of Mexico. It is a cloudless day, a little warm.
It is very warm, but what a beautiful spot we got. We're right on the end. We've got a neighbor very close on one side, and then we've got all open spaces the other.
And we're camping at Camp Gulf. If you've never been there, you've probably seen it if you've ever been in this area. It is a narrow but lucrative campground in that you can camp right on the beach. There are 16 spots on the beach.
Is this the most expensive campsite in the whole world?
I think it is.
I think it might be.
I'm almost embarrassed.
About went into cardiac arrest when you book this spot.
I'm almost ready to pretend like I'm not going to say how much it costs.
But yeah, I don't think you should tell people. I was ready to shoot you.
It's just a sacrifice that we had to make, you know, for the podcast and the blog.
And then you get me by saying it's on your bucket list.
It was on my bucket list.
Could camp on the sand in Michigan. A lot cheaper.
Yeah, and the sky's always gray.
That's
and
true.
It's always
probably
raining.
Rain.
It is raining. And yeah, temperature's 70, which sounds pretty right about now. Right now, in the shade, I just looked at the, we have a outside thermometer and an inside thermometer. Inside our road track, it's 75 degrees. Outside, right in the sun, the thermometer is catching the brunt of the sun. It was 120, it said.
I know. When I go back to Michigan, I'm probably going to freeze.
The actual air temperature is more like 93 or so. And being right on the Gulf like this, we have a great breeze, so it's nice. We're in the shade. We're underneath. We're sitting outside on our picnic table. You probably hear some noise in the background. That's our air conditioning running.
And why doesn't a little camp skunk rub off on you? Camp skunk stays at temperatures of 70.
Our buddy camp skunk, the full-timer, he only follows the temperatures with 70.
Temperature.
He keeps climbing. He's up in the mountains someplace in the northwest. But
I mean, you might take me to 110 and then take me to 10 below.
Well, just look out in front, though. Come on. Look at that.
It is very nice.
It is beautiful. And as soon as we get this podcast done, we're going to go out there and float around and swim in that water. It's 87 to 90 degrees water temperature.
Yeah, like a big old bathtub out there.
But it is a beautiful place. All right, I promised I would refer to the price. Okay, here's how much this cost in season, of which we still are. I think the rates go down in a week or two.
The rates never go down.
Yes, they do. They go down to 120 or something a day.
Oh, they do not.
They do.
They told me they don't go down when you're right on the water.
Really? Well, right. The rate is like, what, $220 a night?
Less than $220 a night.
Could rent a condo for that.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't cost that much if you take some of the sites that are back off the water a little bit and you still have access to the Gulf.
And if you buy a week, they give you one free day.
Yeah.
So.
But it is expensive, yeah. And it's been on my bucket list, and we're doing a couple of days
they
of this.
They saw you coming.
They saw me coming. Oh, well. All right. But anyway, we'll actually have a blog post on this and some of the other spectacular state parks. We did stay at a state park down the way, Topsail Preserve State Park, one of the most beautiful state parks we've ever been in. And we'll show you that and tell you about that coming up, as well as Henderson Beach and Grayton Beach. We'll have kind of some photos and reviews of all these great parks here on the Emerald Coast, including the very expensive Camp Gulf.
But we got to check on that bucket list.
Yes, we do. I've been here now, and my bank account and the credit card bill will certainly reflect that. Okay, dear, it's your turn.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Well, down here on the Emerald Coast of Florida's Panhandle, the weather is picture postcard perfect, but it's hot. And there might be a great sea breeze, but that sun beats it down all day long. And the interior temperatures of a vehicle, like an RV parked in the sun, can rise very fast. In just 20 minutes of exposure, even with the windows cracked a bit, studies have shown that a vehicle can quickly reach a dangerous temperature of like 125 degrees on a typical summer day. It can be quite a battle for the air conditioner to keep up. The other day, the outside temperature in the sun was 101 degrees. Inside, our AC had it at 78. But helping our AC is something we are now using in place of the standard cloth privacy curtains that Velcro around the windshield and the side windows. We're now using windshields and front side window sun shields. They are reflective on the outside and prevent a significant amount of heat from entering our Road Trek motorhome. Too much heat can ruin food in the pantry. It can damage the leather and the fabric. The makers of these sunshades, custom sized for our Mercedes Sprinter Road Trek CS Adventurous XL, say using them can cut heat buildup by as much as 40 degrees. But another advantage I've found is that they also go up easier than the standard fabric curtains. They cost $35, and we found them on Amazon. Mike will post a link on the show notes for this episode. They are a great help in warm weather, but also in winter, they keep heat from escaping from the vehicle. They fold up in a tight roll and easily store out of the way behind the driver's seat. Hope this helps, and that's my tip for this week.
Well, those are pretty good. They're on right now. I'm looking at them. They're reflecting the sun, probably into the big Class A right across the way.
Can I say that yesterday we looked and the silver looked like there was a crack in our windshield and we're just like, oh, what happened?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was like these, when you fold it up, it has little creases in it, and we were walking up to it and it looked like there was a crack, but there wasn't. So
we were very happy.
But these are really nice. And like you said, in the wintertime, we're going to put those up as well, and they help keep the heat in. And in the summer, of course, they keep the heat out. Well, that's a good tip. And again, like you said, we have a link if you want to check these out, to the, at least on Amazon, where you can get them. I think $35, did you say?
Yes, $35.
All right. So go to roadtrekking.com/50, and that will be the show notes for this page.
And they make it feel more spacious inside because the curtains hang down. These fit up snug to the glass, so you have more space inside your rig.
There you go. Well, that's a great tip. Thank you, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hi, this is Evie in Iowa, and my husband and I have a 2003 Road Trek. We just got back from a wonderful 2-week vacation camping and riding our tandem bicycle. And we do have a small problem with the roll-up door on the media cabinet. I believe it's called a tambour door. It's a wooden door that just rolls up kind of like a roll-top desk, except when it doesn't work. So it worked perfectly much of the time, but towards the end of the trip, it stuck, and it won't open to the top shelf, which happens to be where our VCR is. Well, not a VCR, but a a DVD player. So why does it stick sometimes, and how can we fix it, and how can we even get it open right now? I'm hoping that somebody has had some experience with these and can share. Thank you, and keep on road trekking.
Well, there you go. As to why, bad karma. I don't know. Humidity? Bumps in the road?
I think I'd go back to the dealer, or I'd call Road Trek and ask, or I would go on the blog and ask if anybody had that problem.
Well, actually, we got a little bit of help. This is really, it's kind of on this, and this is an older Road Trek. They don't make these in the newer ones anymore. So this is kind of like those roll-top appliance garages that you see. You can, you know, you get one for your toaster or something like that, these kitchen cabinet things that they fit underneath the counter, and the face of the garage uses that tambour style roll-up door. So what I did is I did a quick check on YouTube, the University of YouTube, on how to fix it, and there are lots of sites. I'll put a link to what we find, but without getting into trying to, you know, step one, step two, do this, what you want to do is take that down. You should be able to unscrew that cabinet and then turn it upside down and look for the dowel. Well, first of all, there's spring tension on the rolling device, and you can see two dowels or rollers near the top of the cabinet. One of them has a spring tension bushing. If you loosen the set screw, that will help. Try that. There's a whole bunch of other things you can do as well, but most of the times you want to turn it upside down, find that spring-loaded device at the top of the door. This should work, that tambour style should work pretty much just like any of the regular garages, the appliance garages that people have in their kitchen. So hope that that helps you out. But that is an older way that they used to put the entertainment kit, and I didn't think they do that anymore in the Road Treks. There's probably a number of them that have them. And I bet some of our listeners to this podcast who have those have also fixed them. But, you know, vibrations can do that. Humidity can warp that stuff. There wood, all sorts of stuff.
So. Time. So I had no idea you were so handy, Michael.
It's the University of YouTube. I looked it up. But I'll put a link up to one of the places I found online that let you adjust that. Okay, here's another one. Oh, you know, somebody else that you could call about that, too, and maybe they have a suggestion, is call Maureen at Leisure Time RV in Florida. Maureen has all sorts of parts for road treks, and she would have a line on that, I bet, for you. So you can just go to leisuretimerv.com and look up their number, call Maureen. She's in parts, and ask her, and she'll give you some great advice as well. Okay, email question came in from Judy, a reader of roadtrekking.com, and she says, Mike and Jen, I saw a picture of you two in gravity chairs. How did they fit in the RV, and where did you get them? Well, I bet that picture I put up the other day of our feet looking out at the ocean here at Camp Golf.
Well, we bought them at Walmart.
On sale.
Yeah, on sale. We got a good price on them because it was near the end of the season. We have four gravity chairs. We bought two down in Georgia, and we bought two out west.
And, you know, almost all Walmarts carry the exact same thing, so you shouldn't have any trouble finding them. These we got on sale for like $39.
Yeah.
And I looked at them just now. They're right in front of us here, and there's no name on them at all. But I did look them up, and I did find a name for you. There's one in Amazon where you can get. They're called the Caravan Sports Zero Gravity Chair. Caravan Sports Zero Gravity Chair. And they come in all sorts of colors. We have the tan ones. They're available on Amazon at $50. So you can get them for $50 from Amazon, but I'll put a link up to them. But I think you could find those anywhere. We didn't particularly shop and say, oh, we're going to take the Caravan. They just were at a good price on them.
And we were at our kids' house down in Georgia, and they had a couple of them. We thought they were so comfortable. We ran out, and that's how we bought our first two.
Now, we've gone since then to Camping World. Oh, they have a million gravity chairs.
Yeah, you can get any color. You can get
just about any
size.
Extra
if
wide
you want
loads.
Extra wide, you can get extra wide. They've got everything.
You can find them all there. So I would get one. And now she asked how it fits. Well, in our old Road Trek, the E-Trek we had, which was on the regular Sprinter body, how did we put those in there? We stood them up on their edge and put them in the back, didn't we? And then we took them out at night.
It was a sacrifice, the space, but they were worth it.
Oh, they're so much more comfortable. However, in our new Road Trek, which is the CS Adventurous XL, that XL stands for extra length. It's about 14 inches longer. We can slide them in under the basement. and it works just great. It just works really good. They fit underneath there with their, and we put a big, what do you call that, a ground cover that we have, like a tarp, and we put that underneath the chairs.
In fact, I have said to you, always bring one. We can take turns, we can share it. But just make sure that we always have one.
And that's what I actually thought, we could only take one, but I put two in this time, and they fit just fine with everything else we had. And we also have two Pico armchairs. They fold right up to about the size of one of those big old laptops that they used to sell, those big old HP laptops, you know, used to lug around. And we've had these since day one for all three of our road trek motorhomes. And we've carried these all across the country. They fold up, they telescope together, and I think they're a really great little chair.
I like those too. I like to go back and forth. I get tired of sitting in one chair, I'll sit in the other.
And we're going
to
take these two armchairs and we just put them out on the beach. You know, we don't have those. We didn't bring an umbrella.
And we have those at home.
Yeah, we need an umbrella for this Florida sun.
We forget that there's such a thing as sunshine.
Yeah, well, we live in Michigan. Remember
that
now. All right, well, those are our questions, and we love hearing from you. If you have questions, here's how you do it. Jennifer, thanks for being with me, and let's get ready to go swimming as soon as we get done with this with this podcast. So if you have questions, we'd love to hear from you. All you have to do is go to roadtrekking.com. On the right-hand side of the page, you will find a link that says Leave Voicemail, and all you do is click that, and then you can use the microphone is built into your computer, and you can send us it right from there, so no problem at all. Hey, sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri. Van City RV only sells Class B RVs. The owner, Ray Dwyer, has been in the RV business for 45 years now. He's considered to be the dean of Class B RVs. Nobody knows more about small motorhomes than Ray and his crew. They have new and used Class B motorhomes in stock from the major manufacturers. And when you fly and buy from Van City RV, you fly into St. Louis, they pick you up at the airport, and then they will reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare. And then your RV, when they take you back to Van City RV, will be right there waiting for you, fully prepared for travel, complete with full tanks, fuel, and propane. And after a thorough orientation with their staff, you can take delivery and then set out for home. It's a great idea, and check it out. Here's Dan, the van man from Van City RV, with this week's news.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, I want to let everybody know we're having the Fall RV Show here in St. Louis. That's going to be at the St. Louis Outlet Mall. That's September 11th through the 13th. You can get more information on that at stlrv.com. We're also having the lithium battery promo for the road treks that we have in stock here till the end of the month. Don't miss out on that. We also have the announcement of the new road trek 6-year unlimited warranty. You can get all the information on that at roadtrek.com. And I'm still trying to sell this 2007 Road Trek 190 Popular 4x4, a very unique unit. Give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check us out at vancityrv.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle. Here's the road trekking news of the week.
All right. Well, here we go. Let's see. Starting out with the news is what's driving the RV boom. We've talked about this a lot, but now everybody is talking about RV rentals and how important the RV rental industry is for being able to find an RV. And there's a story that TechCrunch, that's a major technology blog, did this past week about RV rentals. And they talk about Cruise America and a bunch of other outfits that are waiting to let you take their camper vans out for a spin. Mostly corporate sites. You know, these vehicles are okay. They call them charmless vehicles because, you know, they're plastered with their logos and stuff. But it gives you a quick idea. Most of them are Class Cs. And they have a whole review about how important it is for these outdoor companies or these RV companies to help people understand it. And there's a company called Outdoorsy, and there's a big story about them, how a guy's using a vintage 91 Ford that he calls his Vansion, and he rents out his home for $100 a night when he's not in it himself. And anyway, check this out. It's a very interesting story about the RV rental business, and it's from TechCrunch, which is kind of mainstream, but it's a technology blog that has a lot of followers. So you might find that pretty interesting. Now, another big story about the RV industry making the news this week came from the Wall Street Journal. And they were talking about vintage RVs and how they are making a comeback. And we're talking about, you know, 60s or 70 RVs that people are refurbishing, turning them back to their former glory, just having a ball doing that. Old Winnebagos and the like, the old GM, General Motors motorhomes, they don't make them anymore, but boy, there's a lot of those still out there. A lot of old Airstreams and other makers who were busy in the 60s and 70s. People are just as they restore antique cars and now restoring these. And then it's kind of interesting. I noticed Shasta, a big travel trailer company, has come up with a vintage look. Our first RV was a Shasta. I think it was a 13-foot Shasta that we bought in like the early 70s, and we had it. And we loved it. Served us, our family well. Had no bathroom in it, but it was just a great little RV. And I saw now that they actually, I was over at American RV in Grand Rapids, Michigan a few weeks ago, and they actually have some of these on stock, and they have that vintage look. So vintage, comfort, kitschy kind of nostalgia for the old open road, making a big comeback and a big part of the RV boom these days. I'll put a link up to that Wall Street Journal story as well on the blog. And the final story I want to talk about, this has to do with all these amazing fires, these horrible fires that have been hitting the West. Camp Skunk, our road trekking reporter, our resident full-timer, filed a report this week. He's up in the Northwest, as we said earlier in the show. And he had noticed how dry it is, how nervous everybody is about these horrible wildfires that have been all over the place out there in the Pacific Northwest, particularly Washington State. And I've got a story here about Calum County out there in Washington and how it is in the North Olympic Peninsula, how worried folks are. And they've now prohibited all campgrounds for anywhere from having any kind of campfires. This ban started earlier. It allowed some campfires in designated areas, but now none anywhere. All outdoor burnings closed. This, of course, is because of the drought that has been so bad out west. Propane gas appliances are permitted. Have you seen those propane fire pits, by the way? I kind of like those. There's not that wood smell that can get so overwhelming as you are in a campground and everybody has a fire. So we'll put a link up on that, and particularly some of the national forests out there. Again, no fires anywhere out there. A lot of people are very nervous about what is happening because of this drought in the Pacific Northwest. So lots of stuff that you want to know about. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Alde, A-L-D-E, the only name in heat that you need to know when it comes to keeping your RV warm. Alde uses a hydronic system, and that brings many features and many benefits that you really can't find in any other product out there in the RV industry. The Alde heat system, the hydronic system, is a silent, radiant heat. It provides a very warm, even, natural heated interior. It's great for pets. Humans love it. It isn't that dry heat that you get from forced air. There's also, because if you use Alde, it's increased in interior space because it combines both your water heater and your heating system, your air heating system, into one unit. It's very efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. It will extend the life of your propane roughly 40% over forced air. Heating or electric or gas works great. All those options are available, as well as amenities like towel warmers. Something that Jennifer and I love in ours, and that is floor heat. Even though, as we said, we're in very hot and sunny and humid Florida right now as we bring this edition of the podcast, we do like cold weather and winter camping. And boy, that warm floor, that heated floor in the middle of the night or early in the morning is so nice. So check with your RV dealer when you are buying and tell them that you want Alde. It is the only single name that you need to know about when you are looking for a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
Okay, we're going to talk about the demand. We're going to talk about this, and then in our thingamajig of the week, we'll have some more information about this topic, too. And this has to do with something that RVers are particularly worried about, and that is making sure that you have enough battery power. Now we're going to talk about your smartphones, because we keep loading up our smartphones with all these apps, and that creates a pretty strong demand on the batteries of our smartphones and our tablets, and unfortunately, the chances of running out of juice increase the more apps you have. So I have a couple, three apps I want to suggest to you this week that can help you get a handle on battery power management when you're out on the road. Many consider Battery Doctor to be among one of the very smart and top smartphone battery managers. Battery Doctor will show you how much life you can get out of your smartphone's battery by closing certain apps and functions that you have running, like Wi-Fi or GPS. It'll show you, you know, you're going to get X amount of time if you use that. Users can also see how much time is left on a battery's charge, how long it will take to fully charge a battery. The app is free for iOS and for Android. Here's another one, and this is for Android users. You'll want to consider Juice Defender. It's all one word, Juice Defender. This app works by turning on or off features that drain your battery life, like screen brightness or Wi-Fi or 4G or other high data uses. Juice Defender also offers preset profiles for different levels of battery power management. It's a really cool app. Basic version's free, and like every, you know, app that's out there, they have all these options that you can buy to make it even more powerful. Here's one more, and this is for you Windows Phone users out there, all two of you. I'm just kidding. I know there's more than that. Not many, but a few more. No, Windows phones, they've really come along a nice way. I should talk about those some days now that Windows come up with Windows 10, and it's going to be kind of their major platform for all of their devices. But for those of you using Windows Phone, there's a battery manager you want to look at. It's called Battery Saver Pro. And it tells you whether you have enough battery power to perform certain tasks, like playing a game or maybe watching a movie. It will tell you how much battery power you can save by shutting off certain phone features like Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, and the app is free. So there they are. Those are my three apps that I want to suggest for you this week. They're really very cool apps, and you can find links to them if you are driving. You know, I don't want you to pull over and write anything down. Just go to when you get back to a computer, go to the show notes page, and you'll find that at roadtrekking.com/50. roadtrekking.com/50.
Gadgets, gizmos, smartphones, personal tech. We cover it all. Time now for Mike's Thingamajig of the Week.
All right, our regular resident Thingamajig reporter is the Verizon Wireless Uber user, Paul Ulrich. And Paul has, I want to continue this topic about battery management when you're on the road. And just as we have extra batteries and we have solar chargers and we do all this stuff to make sure we don't run out of juice in our RVs, we need to do the same thing with our technology. So Paul's got three options for us. Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. It's Paul Ulrich from Verizon here. Wanted to talk to you about a couple devices that I've used myself. I know people are always on the go now, and a lot of times you need some power. So I'm going to give you three options, kind of a small, medium, and large options for different battery packs you can carry with you to charge up your phone or tablet on the go without needing a cigarette lighter adapter or a wall outlet. The first one is the Motorola Power Pack 2400. This one's $39. It's a kind of your smaller battery. You can fit it right in your pocket easily. It's 2400 milliamps. So it'll give a phone just about a full charge. It'll give your tablet a little bit of juice, a little extra time. It's nice and small. You can easily put it in your pocket without feeling like you're, you know, carrying a big brick in your pocket or something like that. So that's kind of a nice small option. If you want to go medium, we've got the Mophie Power Station Plus 4X. So it's a little bit bigger than that small one I just talked about, that Motorola one. It does have, a built-in USB port, so you can plug in whatever you need to charge up. It's got 7,000 milliamps, so a lot more than that little one. It is a little bit bigger. I've used this one myself. You can still carry it in your pocket. You do kind of feel it in there, that you've got something in there, but it's not too bad if you're carrying it with you. Maybe you want to carry it in a bag, but either way, you'd be okay. You can still carry this one around. Again, 7,000 milliamps. This one's a 119. Then if you wanted to go with the big guy, for $149, you've got the Mophie Power Station 8X. So this one It's a little bit bigger than that last one. It's got 12,000 milliamps. This one I would not suggest carrying in your pocket. You're going to feel like you got like a big old brick in your pocket. It's not that big, but it's a solid device. It's got a little bit of extra weight to it. So this one, I would definitely suggest putting that maybe in a bag, or maybe if you're carrying, you're traveling with someone who's got a purse or a backpack, something like that, leaving it in there because it's a little bit bigger. So that's kind of three different options for whether you're on the go or what you're doing. If you want a little bit of extra power, everyone these days needs their devices, right? So you want to make sure they don't run out of juice. That's three options that you can use, and I'll send you the links right now. For the Road Trekking RV Podcast, I'm Verizon Wireless Uber user Paul Ulrich reporting.
And those links you can find looking right at the show notes page. Just go to roadtrekking.com/50. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Shopping for a data plan area? Well, it shouldn't be complicated. And sometimes it was such a mess trying to figure out what you needed. Well, now Verizon's changed things around, and choosing a wireless plan is now easier than it's ever been. You simply choose the size that fits your needs. Small, medium, large, or extra large. It's just that easy. Verizon's new data plan comes in four sizes. It was created with customers in mind. The small plan, $30 a month for a gigabyte of shareable data. The medium plan's $45 a month for 3 gigs. The large plan, $60 a month for 6 gigs. And the extra large plan is $80 a month, and that is 12 gigs of shareable data. How much simpler could that be? Each size comes with unlimited talk and text, and extra data is $15 per gigabyte. And on this new plan, every smartphone line is only $20 a month. So you're going to know exactly what you're going to pay. Tablet, Jetpack lines, $10 a month, and connected devices for things like smartwatches are just $5. So cool new pricing. Talk to your Verizon retailer today, and they'll help you understand all about it.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
All right. Let's take a quick look at what is happening in Asheville, North Carolina. This is a Family Motor Coach Association, the FMCA. Are you a member of that yet, by the way? You really should. It's a really great organization. Now, I tell you, I have a vested interest in it because I write a monthly column for the Family Motor Coaching magazine, the open mic column. I've been doing it every month now for almost 4 years now. And it's just kind of Jennifer and my travels as we've gone across North America. So we are big fans of the FMCA. We love those guys. And they have all sorts of wonderful events all year round. And the one I want to talk about today is the 2015 Eastern Area Rally. It's set for Asheville, North Carolina, and it's October 14th through the 18th, and they call this one Twilight in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's at the Western North Carolina Agricultural Center in Asheville, North Carolina. You will have 5 nights out there of dry camping if you want, boondocking, or 30-amp electric service, and those electric sites are limited to the first 300 registrants. Slight fee there for that 30-amp stuff. But they're going to have all sorts of activities there, seminars, so you can learn a lot about motorhome use, coach displays, commercial exhibits, lots of neat things at this rally. There's a parade, there's a fair, golf tournament, a ladies' luncheon, evening entertainment. You get coffee and donuts every morning. There's an ice cream social, door prizes, and lots of fun things to do. I've got a link on the show notes if you want to check this out, if you can get over there. Again, the dates are October 14th through the 18th. It's the Twilight in the Blue Ridge Mountains area of the Carolinas. You're going to absolutely love it. So check it out. I think you will have a great time. Now, do you have an event coming up that you'd like to let the world know about? Just send it to me, mike@roadtrekking.com. We'll take a look at it. If we can get it in, we'll get it in one of our RV calendar announcements. So mike@roadtrekking.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Joe and Bernie Poultice in Broadview Heights, Ohio. We'd like to thank you for the advice you gave us when we were selecting our Road Trek CS Adventurous earlier this year. We enjoy hearing your podcast as we drive around in it. Glad to finally meet the two of you at the recent Michigan International Speedway Road Trek Rally last week. Here's an item for your Off the Beaten Path series. With football season almost upon us, here's a great destination stop for RV travelers going through Northwest Ohio. This is the Wilson Football Factory in Ada, Ohio. Ada is south of Toledo, just south of US 30 near Lima. It is the home to the world's only dedicated football factory. It's part of the Wilson Sporting Goods Company, and this factory produces 4,000 leather footballs a day, or 700,000 balls in a year. This includes every football that has ever appeared in an NFL game since 1941. Production of the Duke model is all done by hand. The cutting, sewing, steaming, lacing by its 120 employees. They also manufacture the footballs for 28 high school associations, the NCAA, and many other youth football leagues. They do conduct factory tours once a week between Mondays and Thursdays. The days and the times will vary each week, and there's a small admission fee. But this is a must visit for any true football fan trying to get into the football spirit. For information, call them at 419-634-9901. I hope your listeners enjoy this Off the Beaten Path football adventure. Thank you.
All right, that's from Joe and Bernie. Thank you guys for sharing that. That is a great timely one. The Wilson Football. That I need, and I go that way on I-75 all the time as we go on back and around down south. I need to call and do a story on that. That's a great one. So thank you for that. That's a very timely suggestion. Do you have an Off the Beaten Path report? Tell you what, if I use yours, I will send you a free hat. Yes, I will. I'll send you a free road trekking hat, a $16.95 value. And you know all the cool kids wear road trekking hats. So there you go. You want one? Just use that leave voicemail link on the blog, and you can send us your Off the Beaten Path. And if we use it in the podcast, we will send you that hat. So there you go. This part of the podcast brought to you by Leisure Time RV, serving Central Florida and the Internet. From Winter Garden, Florida, your vacation starts at Leisure Time RV. They're a family-owned dealership, and Winter Garden's right near Orlando, so boy, you can't find a more convenient spot. These guys have been in business, they're pushing now, in a couple more years, it'll be a half century of being in business there. Consistently among the very top road trek dealers in North America. They sell travel trailers and lots of other stuff as well. Full line of road trek inventory, used RVs. Jennifer and I have visited Leisure Time RV. We've gotten to meet some of the staff there, and we are very impressed by the honesty and integrity, the first-rate service we found there. Ken Prettis, the general manager of Leisure Time RV, is an avid RVer. He owns a road trek himself. He loves to get out there and to camp with his wife Maureen. And here's Ken with what they've got going on at Leisure Time RV this week.
Hi, this is Ken from Leisure Time RV. We want to thank Mike and Jen and our loyal listeners. We know used road treks are hard to find, but we have a 2008 210 Popular and a 2003 190 Versatile in stock. Please call 1-800-336-6565 or email admin@leisuretimerv.com for details. Don't forget, before you buy, call us. We're very competitive. Check out our great selection of road treks. Our newest Zion. We have two to choose from. Our CS with the E-Trek package, the best of both worlds. And we also have a TS Adventurous in stock, along with others, including the most reasonable road trek, the Ranger RT. Check out all the models on our website, leisuretimerv.com, or call 1-800-336-6565. Don't forget, your vacation starts at Leisure Time RV.
Well, joining us right now is Paul Bamby from the Association of RV Parks and Campgrounds. And Paul, thanks for being with us on Road Trekking the Podcast. Tell us, as we start here, what trends are you seeing this year in 2015 that are different perhaps than in previous years?
Well, I think, you know, harking back to last winter, especially in the northeast and northern climes of the country, people got cabin fever, and we're seeing a rebound of traffic in our member parks that is kind of unheralded this year. Everything is up double digit, and I attribute it to the weather and maybe the economy a little bit, but it's just been a stellar year all the way across the country.
So more people are traveling in RVs and campers, using parks and campgrounds. And you think that dreadful winter of 2015 really kind of was the catalyst, huh?
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously other factors as well. But I'll tell you, I've never heard so much complaining from all sectors of the country that, gee, when is spring going to finally get here? I know up in the Boston area, they got slammed with snow. I was up there, when was that, April? And there were still 3-4 feet of snow on the streets of Boston Metro. So I think it was pent-up demand. People just wanted to get outdoors. And once the sun melted all that snow and people actually could get out, they came to the campgrounds.
I don't know if you've seen the old Farmer's Almanac came out with their forecast, and they predict another cold and very snowy winter for large parts of the country.
Yeah, so. I just saw that this past weekend, and out here in the West, in Denver, where I'm from, they call it the El Nino, which is the big moist weather pattern that comes up through the southwest part of the country, and we're predicted to have great snow and cold temperatures here. Of course, it's not a bad thing when you live in Colorado, because that's great for the ski industry.
Now, besides traffic up at camps and parks and campgrounds, what other things are you seeing that's driving the park and campground industry these days?
You know, I think I'll actually put it in my own personal anecdotal way. I've been camping my whole life. My parents and my brothers and sisters and I used to get in the old family truckster, to use a Chevy Chase movie term.
Yeah.
Actually, it was a 1960 Dodge wagon, and that was our wheels to get to a campground. And once there, you built a fire and you sat around it and talked, and it was great for that social reason. But today there are so many new amenities that draw the population to our campgrounds. You know, everything from, well, I was just in Arizona a couple months ago, and I played golf at a campground. I just don't think most people understand that is an amenity that exists out there. And then you add things like zip lines, swimming pools, of course, but you know, all kinds of rentals. You can rent golf carts, you can rent bikes, you can rent boats. The list goes on, and I think it just is a signal that there's something really for everybody. I know that's an overused phrase, but in our world, it's very true.
One of the things, of course, that's driving all that traffic is the sales of the RV industry. Of course, they're back to pre-recession levels. But the baby boomers who are retiring are much more active as a generation than any of the generations that we've ever seen before. They are used to kind of grabbing life by the horns and just going full tilt. So you mentioned golf and this whole resort aspect of campgrounds. Instead of the old, let's roast some hot dogs over the fire, there's so many more things. What other kind of things are you seeing in the campground industry in particular, where they're carving out special niches for themselves?
Well, and I relate to what you're saying. I'm of that genre where I consider myself very active, and my family as well. They keep me on the move. So when you come to a campground today, you know, we are a membership, a trade association called the RV and Campground Association, and we have 3,000 private members as part of it. I think people naturally think you have to have an RV to come and enjoy the experience. And today, you really don't need an RV. There is this term, park models, that your listeners may be familiar with. For the life of me, I think it's a terrible term because it doesn't really say what they are. These are rental units. They're cabins on wheels. Not just cabins, by the way. There's some very nice, lavish yurts, if you're familiar with that term.
Yeah.
And they're out there to enjoy. And, you know, my generation likes to think that they can jump in the RV. I was just watching the Robin Williams movie the other day, and, you know, that's me all the way. I rented an RV for 10 years, and the family piled in, and we even had a Blackwater incident that was very similar to that movie, if you're familiar with it. But
oh, yes, I remember that movie, and I've come close to it myself.
Well, my two kids, they're now college age, but they were right above me while I was fussing with the tubes underneath and whatnot. And I won't go into graphic detail, Mike, but things got out of hand, and they were up there chuckling like two squirrels. And it's become a real family story.
Well, it's a pretty stinky story. Story stinks. But well, let's go.
But the point I wanted to make there is that you have these wonderful rentals that people of all ages can go out and enjoy. You don't need to sit behind a rolling RV if that's a little too much for your capabilities, although I think they're as easy as driving a van. I was amazed how easy they are to drive. But you can go to a campground of ours and use your own vehicle and get anywhere away from home and be out in the wilderness and enjoy the creature comforts of life through these park models that are just waiting to entertain you, whether you need linens and dishware and you know, an outlet to plug your hair dryer in. I mean, it has it all. And I know my wife, when I've taken her to these in the past, she loves them. Some of them are like, you know, I'll sound like I'm exaggerating here, but they really are comfortable. I almost said Ritz-Carlton comfortable. It's not quite that, but they allow you to just drive up and start enjoying the outdoors instantaneously, and you don't have any of the hassles, if you want to call driving an RV a hassle, which I don't think it is.
Of course, many of these parks now, these park models, are being sold as well, and they're, it's almost like having your own cabin or your cottage at a resort, and that's kind of want to go back to it for a moment. Many of the private campgrounds seem to have started to theme themselves family oriented, outdoor oriented, fishing RV parks, that kind of stuff. What are some of the genres, I guess we can talk about private parks. But what other things are you seeing in parks that that are a notch above what we perhaps have seen before?
Well, I think, you know, I like to term it, this is not your grandfather's campground experience anymore. You get to a campground today, and I'm speaking generically, of course, but generally speaking, you're going to find something to do that interests you. And you know, the themed weekends that are recurrent within our organization can really run the gamut from quilt making to stargazing to wine tasting. One of the things that we actually ran a little survey on not too long ago was the upcoming Halloween weekend, which 25% of the 3,000 parks within our association, 25% of them actually take advantage of that theme. And what I found very interesting, it's not just the couple days before Halloween that they dig in and really dress it up. they will oftentimes run that theme throughout the entire month of October, and they report back to me that it's one of the most profitable themes that they have throughout the year. So, you know, these themed weekends are really something new. And again, it's not something that you would have seen 10 or 15 years ago. And the owners of our campgrounds, they know, they're marketing people. They know how to really advertise and market those ideas and those themes. And they do get people to come to enjoy them. I was listening to one of your blogs in preparation for this interview, and you mentioned the 3:30 rule.
Yeah, that's my rule. I never can quite keep it as much as I'd like, but that's what I shoot for.
Well, actually, research backs that up. Most of the folks that are visitors to our parks are within about a 300-mile radius of home. So they're not traveling huge distances to get to us. And once they're there, they really stay for several days or even, in some cases, weeks and put their lifestyle out there and really, really go for it. And they love these themed weekends that our businesses make available to them.
Yeah, well, now's the time to make reservations for Halloween because they do fill up. Well, one last question, and we've talked a lot about the experience from the campers, but also from the park and the camp owners. What are the couple of the key concerns in the industry? What are the challenges they face? I would imagine one of them now is Wi-Fi. Everybody wants Wi-Fi. Everybody wants fast connectivity. And those pipes, well, they're only so wide.
That's true. And when you're out in the hinterlands, it's even harder to obtain access in some cases. I'd say one of the challenges we have is with the incumbent relationships that we often have with cable television companies, they've gone digital. And that brings a whole host of potential challenges to the owner, not the least of which is inventorying all of those digital devices that make the signals work. You can imagine with so many people coming in and out of the campground day in and day out, if you have to manage those digital boxes, those digital devices, for every one of those customers, it's a real chore. So we're dealing with that. There are solutions that we actually have a keynote speaker at our convention coming up in November down in Daytona Beach, and he is a digital expert who is really going to preach the wisdom of going with skinny fiber, which has come down in cost tremendously from just 5 years ago. And that fiber has enormous bandwidth potential. So we're trying to educate our park owners on the wisdom of maybe redesigning your plant, your architecture that gets those TV signals and even the Wi-Fi signals to the customer. And they're listening. You know, they want to be up to speed with technology. And
literally and figuratively with fiber, because fiber,
yeah,
I'll tell you, that will be a huge draw. Fiber is, I've seen it so many times in action. I think I would choose a campground, and I think many of our listeners would do, because you can stream everything and it's so much faster. Well, that's exciting. Well, Paul, our time has run out for the segment. I want to thank you for spending some time with us in a very busy season as we get ready for the fall season, which is turning into time. We'll be bringing you back. I'd like to follow up on some of the stuff that the industry is involved with as well, including fiber. So,
oh, that'd be great, Mike. And, you know, I failed to mention that anything your listeners are interested in learning about our campgrounds can be found on our website, gocampingamerica.com.
And I will put a link to that on our show notes here on this episode of the podcast, and they'll find it. So Paul Bambi from the campground, the Parks and Campground, RV Parks and Campground Association, I just want to thank you so much for spending some time with us, and we'll see you out there.
Okay, Mike, thanks for the invitation. It's been great, and we'll look forward to talking to you again.
Traveling North America in a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Well, this is a great time to end the podcast because the sun has moved and we are losing our shade. That means it is time to wrap up the podcast and shut the doors and the RV and put all the gear away and then go out and spend the rest of the afternoon swimming in the Gulf of Mexico. I want to thank you for being a part of the podcast. Thank you, Paul Bambi, for that update on all the activities that the Campground Association is doing. We've got some great stuff coming next week. We're going to next week talk about a couple who've gone from paradise to paradise in their RV. You'll meet them as well as much more. Don't forget to leave us a voicemail message on the blog. Just go to roadtrekking.com. Click that leave voicemail message. You can ask questions. We'll do our best to answer them on the next episode. And we love getting those questions. Also, your off-the-beaten-path reports. Remember, if you would like to have your voice heard, just use that voicemail link on the right-hand side of the roadtrekking.com webpage. Please follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/groups/roadtrekking, and you can find more news about the small motorhome lifestyle than you ever thought was out there. If you're on Twitter, you can follow me at Road Trekking. I tweet all day long. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you're not on our weekly mailing list, well, this is the time to do it. Every single Monday, we send a special list of what's happening to subscribers. And if you sign up for that from the blog, roadtrekking.com, we'll also send you a RV packing list that you can use to take along with you. Hey, that's the podcast for this episode number 50. New episode every Wednesday. We will be back in a week. Thanks for putting us in your ear.